The Trump administration thought wind and solar were the ones holding back coal. New data show it's mainly another fossil fuel. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Some blame renewable energy for the closure of coal and nuclear plants, but a highly anticipated report released last night by the Department of Energy found that the main cause of the plant closures is not wind, not solar, but competition from natural gas. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra joins us. Mariel, let's start here. Why did the Trump administration order the study?
Well, so back in April, Rick Perry, the energy secretary, called for it as a big picture look at energy markets in the U.S. One of the questions was why coal and nuclear power plants have been closing so quickly over the last few years. You know, there's an argument that the government shouldn't let them disappear because they can be more reliable than other forms of energy, especially in cold weather. So Perry specifically asked whether federal subsidies to other forms of power plants were hurting coal and nuclear energy. People in the industry assumed he meant subsidies to renewable energy plants like wind and solar. The implication, of course, was those subsidies could go away.
Now, the report, in the end, lays the finger of blame not on those pesky renewables.
Right. We're really looking at plain old competition here from natural gas. Natural gas plants are cheaper to build and operate than other power plants. It makes the natural gas cheaper for you or I to buy to heat our homes, for example. And that's putting coal and nuclear plants out of business. The report said renewable energy is a factor, but it's secondary.
Now, where's the policy go from here?
The report doesn't suggest getting rid of wind and solar subsidies. It does recommend some things that could help coal and nuclear plants, like making it cheaper and quicker for them to get permits.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you. Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 0.4%. Dow and S&P futures are up about 0.1% each. Does it bother you that Poland spring water does not come from the actual Poland spring? A class action suit against Poland Springs owner Nestle claims that the bottled water is just groundwater from Maine. Poland Spring claims in its marketing those sources are, quote, pretty incredible springs. The suit claims they're not springs. Nestle says they comply with all federal and state rules. The original Poland spring dried up years ago. Now, the National Football League set a lofty goal for itself some years ago, reach $25 billion in revenue by the year 2027. The league is more than halfway there, but it's going to take a lot more fans to reach the finish line. To that end, the NFL this week struck an exclusive deal with Chinese internet giant Tencent to stream NFL games to China. Marketplace's Rima Kreis puts the deal in perspective.
Actually, I'm going to let Victor Matheson put the deal in perspective. He's a sports economist at the College of the Holy Cross.
Even if you only get a third of the people or a quarter of the people to watch the NFL, that's a bigger market than the United States.
Tencent will stream most NFL games along with the Super Bowl. The tech giant's platforms, including social network WeChat, attract more than 900 million monthly users.
This is the same company that paid the NBA $700 million for broadcasting rights of basketball games.
Basketball in China is more popular than football, but last year, live streaming of NFL games there grew by 17% to 37 million viewers. Adam Grossman heads up Block 6 Analytics.
If there is a decline in the U.S., really getting in front of international audiences is critical.
NFL viewership dropped 9% during the last regular season. Under the Tencent deal, the NFL will have 3 years to raise its score in China. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
As the UK negotiates its future relationship with the European Union, some Brits are looking to the past for guidance. Brexit supporters point to a famous bit of free trade legislation in 1846, the repeal of the Corn Laws. Brexit opponents say they're drawing the wrong lessons from history here. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The Corn Laws imposed tariffs on imported grain. That restricted supply, pushed up prices, and protected the profits of Britain's wealthy landowners and grain producers. The laws were repealed after a long campaign led by a 19th century manufacturer, Richard Cobden.
Cobden was of the view, which is the modern view in economics now, that trade is about both parties benefiting.
Max Rangeley of the Cobden Centre, which tries to keep the campaigners' ideas alive. Rangeley is a Brexit supporter.
Would Cobden have voted for Brexit?
I think he would have, yeah. Cobden was very much in favour of global free trade, being outside of the European Union, but it will make it a lot easier to trade with other countries around the world.
Britain will be free to strike trade deals with non-EU countries like the US. Without EU import tariffs, the UK could see its food prices plummet. But not all free traders are in favour of Brexit or see the EU as a bastion of protectionism.
The EU is an embodiment of the principles of free trade. It's the world's biggest single non-tariff market, 500 million people trading without borders.
Adrian Wooldridge of The Economist magazine. Few of its readers today realise the magazine was set up in 1843 to crusade against the Corn Laws. It's campaigned for free trade ever since, but it's opposed to Brexit, though Wooldridge admits the EU isn't perfect.
You do have all sorts of price support mechanisms, in some ways the modern version of the Corn Laws.
But outside the EU, he says, Britain will find it much tougher trading freely with the huge market on its doorstep. It would have been better off pushing for freer trade from inside the bloc.
If Richard Cobden were alive today, you think he would have voted to remain?
I think he would have voted through slightly gritted teeth to remain, just as I voted through slightly gritted teeth to remain.
American farmers may be happier after Brexit, just as they were after the repeal of the Corn Laws. After that, grain exports from the prairies to Britain soared. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And yeah, you heard right. The leading advocate for repeal of the Corn Laws was Richard Cobden, Corn, Cobb, and David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.